Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for the introduction, and it's a great pleasure and great honor to be here again. Yes, this is the last talk of this dev room, so it won't be too technical, so don't worry if you are already tired. And why talk about this? Why trying to do this retrospective? Well, it's really the 15th dev room this year, so 15 years, depending on how you count it, since Jakub Jarma started this tradition in 2012. And there have been some 146 talks by 80 distinct speakers about 45 distinct projects during this dev room in the past 15 years, including all the unicornals and other friends that we have. And 15 years, that's quite a lot of history already, I think. You know, 15 years, if your child was this tall, now it's probably graduating from Guy High School, right? So maybe we should look back. Well, even the world order can change in such a time. So what probably didn't change in all those 15 years? I think what didn't change is the significance of microkernels. And I think that this audience is a proof to that we still believe in this idea. Now, different people have different reasons to work on microkernels. Therefore, we have different microkernel operating systems, and that's perfectly fine. But I would say that if there is one single underlying common denominator, it's the fact that we believe that from the software architecture, the microkernel approach is just a little bit better than the monolithic approach. Of course, there's nothing wrong with having a lot of features in an operating system. But the problematic part is when all those features form a single point of failure. And I think Norman Feske really described it very nicely 15 years ago using his Burgenschiff or castle ship analogy, which I have redrawn using AI like this. So, you know, monolithic systems looks like this. Beautiful, nice, you know, a lot of diversity, a lot of features, but everything is on this single wooden ship without any watertight bulkheads. You know, do you really trust this? Is this really the best way we should implement our software? A different point or a different take on this. If you look on the size of the Linux kernel binary plus some of the required kernel modules, not all of them, just those that are required on a typical desktop machine, you get to something like 150 megabytes of code and data. That's comparable to other monolithic software packages like AAA games or software suites and things like that. All right, but would you run that in a kernel mode? Would you trust your web browser to directly access your hardware without any moderation layer? I leave the conclusions to you. So what did change in those 15 years? And this is quite important, I think. And maybe you might say that I'm overly positive, but I really believe this. Since 2012, microkernels are actually in the mainstream now. You have multiple real-world operating systems based on the microkernel design that are running on millions of smart devices. You have millions of cars running microkernels as hypervisors. You have millions of smart appliances running microkernel as the user-facing operating system, like Google Fuchsia. You have millions of smartphones and laptops running Harmony OS Next. So I think, I hope, I believe that people are finally, forgetting all those unfounded anxieties about microkernels. I mean, it's not always ideal, but I think there is some progress. And instead of that, they are embracing their true potential without worries. So we have seen some wonderful demos today already. I have just a couple of snapshots here. So this is Google Nest with Google Fuchsia. This is Harmony OS Next running on surprisingly not so recent, but still very nice Huawei phone. So yes, this is an actual microkernel based operating system with all the user facing goodies you would expect. And actually the framework, the RQI, if I'm not mistaken, is the same that has been previously used by the Linux based Harmony OS. So you have even that continuity. So to sum up, microkernels are in the mainstream. Now let's take a short trip down the memory lane and let's look on some of the interesting talks that have been presented here at the microkernel dev room. Of course, this is my selection, so if your favorite talk is not being mentioned, that's not personal, that's just my selection. But I really recommend you, if you have the time, going to that old talks, and you might find some interesting ideas there still. So this is my selection. In the first year, there were mostly introductory talks. So if you would like to compare the basic architecture of Gnode, Nova, HelenOS, feel free to go there. Gnode already presented that there is this agony of choice in case of Gnode, because it's not just an operating system. It's an operating system framework that actually supports, I don't know how many it is today, but 6-7 microkernels and even a monolithic kernel, which is interesting. I mean, this is coming from the original title. I don't think it's wrong. I think it's great. And I still remember this quote from the panel discussion by Jakub Jermář, where he said that HelenOS implements the MFS driver so that there is a migration path for the Minix 3 users to HelenOS. I think it was meant half jokingly back then, but yeah, I think it's less of a joke nowadays. So this is the photo from that panel session. 2013. We have learned that GNU Hurd is alive and well. We have seen a confirmation today, but at least for me that was a surprise that this operating system based on the first generation microkernel is still quite working and progressing. There have been several talks on learning from past mistakes, which is always good, and there were several talks describing how operating system projects are maturing from academic endeavors to practical usability and maturity. And probably the most important point from those talks is try to eat your own dog food whenever possible. It really helps. 2014. This was the year when Antikante announced RAMP kernels at FOSDEM, which I believe made a huge impact. Gnode also introduced their base HW, their own microkernel. HelenOS got a sound stack, and L4E got commercial. So again, another move from academia to the real world, so to speak. Jakub Jermář announced microkernel.info, which is still an interesting site. Hopefully that sort of points you to all the existing open source microkernels. I'm currently trying to maintain it. If there's your favorite project missing, please let me know or send a pull request. And there was a very interesting talk that I really believe we should review from time to time by Vasily, where he made a very good case for implementing practical security measures even in microkernels. Things like non-executable memory, address space randomization, and stuff like that. Because the world is complicated. Having a nice software architecture that sort of prevents certain types of issues by itself is nice, but there are other types of issues that should be also prevented. I mean, just recently, L4E was in the middle of a security vulnerability that was not caused by L4E or the microkernel, but the vulnerability was caused by improper use of that building blocks. And maybe if there would be even more strict security measures, maybe those people would simply not be able to use it in such a wrong way. I don't know. 2015, SEL4 joins our community, which was nice. There were also two talks about, let's say, small projects, maybe a single person operating system projects. But it's always great to see people learning by doing, and while doing that, discovering new ideas that we old farts just have forgotten to discover or just failed to discover. And I think this year's DevRoom follows that tradition nicely. And actually, L4E implements Stack Canaries. I'm not sure if this was a direct reaction to Vasily or not, but yeah, we've done something to improve the security even without changing the architecture. 2016, Gnode announced their support for SEL4, so extending their set of supported microkernels by yet another one. Gnuhurt gains a lot of usability features that we still see the results today, thanks to RAMP kernels, like sound support and USB support. And Gianluca also introduced his own microkernel, again presenting some fresh, interesting ideas on scheduling and what you can even consider to be a schedulable entity in an operating system kernel. 2017, probably the largest attendance of a single talk was happening here when there was the first introduction of the Redux OS to this dev room. And this really shows that it's never late to come to a party. I mean, you can always come up with something new, something interesting. LNOS surprisingly became more popular than Minix 3, at least measuring by the number of downloads. So you see the migration path for the Minix file system is really needed. And the Gnuhurt talk showed a nice way how you can use virtualization in a microkernel-based operating system without actually implementing anything extra. Just using the basic principles that the operating system, I mean the microkernel, already provides by using subherds. Wonderful. 2018, I mean, there were certainly more talks, but this one stuck to my mind. Sculpt OS was introduced by the Gnode guys. You know, just to explain, Gnode is an operating system framework, so it's a set of components that you are supposed to take and build your custom operating system out of it, while Sculpt OS is a distribution of that components, so to speak, which you can actually use as your daily driver. I don't want to take credit for this, but I was really pushing Norman to do this for many years. So I hope I at least contributed to that idea, so that, you know, he did it, so that I shut up. I don't know. 2019, Gnode introduced a kernel agnostic virtual machine manager. Again, on a technical level, an amazing feat, because if you compare the different interfaces that the different microkernels provide for virtualization and making sure that you can have a single binary that supports all of them, that's amazing. Unikernels were getting stronger, so there were several unikernel talks, Unicraft, OSV, if I'm not mistaken, and others. And again, one reality check, which shows that nice software architecture is amazing, unless you are dealing with buggy and useless hardware. So since L4E needs to support real-world computers with real-world hardware vulnerabilities, we need to face some unpleasant mitigation efforts in the microkernel itself to provide some end-to-end security and safety to our customers. 2020, so that was almost world's largest super spreading event for COVID. I wanted to present it as a joke, but it was quite amazing that we narrowly escaped this. So that we narrowly escaped this fate. I wouldn't like for them to be in the textbooks for this. But yeah, also looking on the positive, on the bright side of that, for many people that was the last large event which they attended before we had to do the 2 or 3 year break. There was M3 presented, again, a way how to take the microkernel idea as we know it and push it even further, push it into new grounds by incorporating hardware software co-design. There was this big resurrection of Nova, so Udo was here presenting his new involvement in it and presenting the ARMv8 port and more news to come. And the next year, this was my microkernel dev room. I'm not sure how yours looked like, but you know, this was the matrix chat. This was the presenter screen, and this is you know, the output, the streaming that all the other participants saw. And you know, in the beginning, you know, in the first half a day, it did not really work so well. So yeah, the infrastructure was under stress, but eventually it went fine. And Gnode presented their pluggable device drivers as one highlight from that year. 2022, the infrastructure got much better. I think there were almost no glitches this time, but we were still sitting in front of our machines at home or whenever, wherever. And Gnode Labs presented Gnode on PinePhone, and there was yet another newcomer, Managarm, a fully asynchronous microkernel-based system, which I'm still surprised how they managed to achieve such a large degree of Linux compatibility in such a short time. But they really focus on that, and it's an amazing feat and an interesting project to follow. And in 2023, we were back to Brussels, finally. And Gnode presented their new approach of reusing Linux drivers. Again, this is a topic that has been done maybe 6, maybe 7, maybe 10 times before in different ways, but there was still obviously apparently a possibility to do it in a better way for the 11th time. And this is what Gnode and other projects are using right now. We have also known that Google Fuchsia is one of the most widely used microkernels, at least at that moment. And there was yet another newcomer, Ares or Helios, this time not just a new microkernel, but a new microkernel implemented in a completely new systems programming language. What more could you want? 2024. This is something that I'm not really happy about. Somebody just decided that 240 minutes of microkernel talks should be enough for everyone. So the length of the dev room has been shortened. Okay, let's move on. I don't want to say anything bad about it. Nova fully embraced trusted and confidential computing that year, or at least that was presented here. So again, jumping on a new trend in the industry. And Gnode presented their new build system or cross-compilation build system, which I think also is very, very important and might be useful for you too. And last year, again, a newcomer, CMRX, a new real-time embedded MMU-less microkernel built from ground up and presenting new interesting ideas. L4E went through some certification efforts, which are some hard ways how to get into safety-critical systems. Managarm and Redox was fighting some uphill battle with some old Unix monsters like canceling POSIX syscalls and signals. Again, something that most of the microkernel systems eventually need to face, because Linux compatibility is still important to many people, and also something that nobody is looking forward to. And Gnode also embraces trusted boot. So that was the history. This microkernel dev room today was amazing. Great selection of talks. I will be reviewing most of them. And I think the future is bright. Thank you very much. I guess there are no questions to this. So have a safe trip home. Or enjoy Brussels if you still can, and see you next year, hopefully.